And welcome back once again to the Parish of the Patriots. This is the 350th. I had to check my notes to be sure I didn't get wrong. We are at episode 350. And the show rolls on. Good times rolling on. I'm glad you joined us today. We seek to have a great and fun discussion, informative maybe. We do have a Christian-specific segment. That is roughly the halfway point of the show. I know most of you already know that, but I always point it out every week. You never know. Might be somebody tuning in for the first time. I highly advise you to give it a shot. Give it a listen. I think it'll be something different, maybe. We're going to have a great discussion. I'm having a sense of the future. Great discussion in the Christian-specific segment. But if you don't want to, it is out there on its own. So if that's absolutely just can't do it, then, this can be a 30-minute show instead of an hour-long show. Good times rolling on. We are glad. I just have to say it once again. Really glad to have Sven Longshanks back. I'm hoping, for me personally, I'm hoping the quality of this show gets a little better. I do my best every week, of course. But with Sven back, my workload has lightened a little bit, and I'm hoping maybe that can equate to the quality of this show getting a little better. Maybe it'll be a little more informative, a little more entertaining. We'll see. But it is great to have Sven back, we sat down and did our first Friday Daily Nationalists in however many years it's been. It's a couple of years now, and it just felt like old times again. Well, except the show wasn't centered around transgender stories, but that was a nice surprise. That was a nice swap up. If you do get something out of this show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is. You have the opportunity. Obviously, you get the show regardless. It's free. I don't put anything behind a paywall. I don't have any intention of ever putting anything behind a paywall. This isn't a money-making thing. Trust me, it's not a money-making thing. But if you do get something out of it, you feel moved, say, hey, I got something out of it. I got the snail mail here. There's no cryptocurrency. Those are Sven's addresses that you see on the page. I got the snail mail address right here on the Parish of the Patriots page. You look at the show description. Most of you probably skim through that and just start listening. That's what I would do. But right below that, with the description, I do have the snail mail address. Anybody can address an envelope. Anybody can figure that out. And of course, it is very much appreciated. We do have a couple entries into the listener supporter mailbag this week. Tony, no note, but I did want to let you know, of course, that I did get it. Appreciate it. Amazingly enough, the post office, even with the recent government shutdown, seems to be chugging along at a steady pace. I have had very little problems with things coming through the mail. Next up, GPD, hope things are going well. And hope you've got your hip waders on as the kvetching and other sewage is getting pretty deep. Anyway, be well. May God bless. That's from Nick. Thank you very much, Nick. It is getting deep, and we shall wade off a little bit into some of this deepness today. That gets us to our listener supporter mailbag, by the way. We are wading off into the deepness and the never-ending theater. I'm recording this show, by the way, on a Monday. I usually do it on a Saturday. I got a lot of stuff going on because, I just do. I just do. I'm recording it a little later than I normally do. Next week's going to be kind of a similar situation. I'll get a show to you one way or the other, folks. But, we got Thanksgiving coming up. I got a lot of stuff going on. But we're going to keep having our discussions. The theater, the political theater continues unabated. Now, I don't think any of this matters. But it is interesting. I see them desperately. They're really trying hard to keep people engaged in the system. We kind of talked about this last week, how they shape the narratives. And, a lot of people get kind of discouraged. But I look at things in the sense that they're looking more and more desperate to keep people engaged in the system. And we have no idea where people are really at. I saw a deal here some time back. A study was done. And I think I've mentioned this before, but they did a study and they said something like 51% of what you read on the internet, like comments and things such as this, they're just bots. It's just bot traffic. So you don't know, like if you watch a YouTube video or you read something on Twitter, you've got a 51% chance that you're just looking at bot material, you know? So you don't know. You don't know how much of this crap is even real. But I stand back and I look at how desperate they're trying to keep people engaged and buying into this system. They really, I have a suspicion. I suspect that real belief in the system, because I guarantee you they have some way they're estimating, they're analyzing, you know, how much people actually are buying into this. And I have a feeling the reality is it's collapsing. Again, there's no way to know that because 51% of what you're reading online is bots. But I suspect, because a lot of this that I see, they're really trying hard, you know, create a new drama. Create, if you really, I've said this before, but if you really think of it in the context of watching professional wrestling, American wrestling, it really makes sense. You know, this politician somehow suddenly becomes the hero, and this politician suddenly becomes the bad guy. And then they might switch roles in a couple of years, and you're supposed to forget, you know, all about that. Now, y'all know I'm not on social media. I won't be on social media. Don't look for me on social media. If you come across anybody with an account on social media, Facebook, Twitter, wherever the hell, and they're claiming to be me, they are not me. They are lying. They are an imposter, because I can tell you right now, I'm not on any form of social media. I'm not. And I'm not on social media, but I do hear about things that happen on social media because most people are on social media. And I saw a deal yesterday. I saw a deal last night. And apparently Twitter released for a little bit, they released a new feature. And this feature showed you these accounts. When you looked at one of these accounts, and a lot of these accounts have a lot of followers. Again, 51% of these followers, you have to assume, are bots. Hell, the account itself may be a bot account. That 51% is going to be important to bear in mind when you look at these things in the correct context. 51%, remind yourself, every time you look at something, every time you follow a feed, every time you watch a video and you read the comments underneath, remind yourself 51% of these comments are more than likely bots. But Twitter, they released this new feature, and it would show you could go to one of these accounts and look at their country of origin. Needless to say, India was surprisingly overrepresented in a lot of these. But what I found really, really funny is people went to the United States government, specifically the Department of Homeland Security. Remember, the Department of Homeland Security was created after 9/11. But they went to the Department of Homeland Security's account, their official Twitter account, the official one, not a made up one. And when they looked at the account information and it showed where the account is based out of, it said Tel Aviv, Israel. I had to pause when I saw this. I had to pause myself. I just started laughing hysterically. The account is literally now then. They shut this feature off because somebody didn't think this through. And when they turned it back on, magically, the DHS account showed based in the United States. They had to run out and fix that. But the damage was done. Tel Aviv, Israel. I'm not surprised. I mean, didn't die laughing because, oh, my gosh. And people were acting, oh, my gosh, this is so shocking. It's just so hilarious. It's right there. It did right there in your face. Tel Aviv, Israel, the Department of Homeland Security based out of Tel Aviv, Israel. Well, I mean, it makes sense. You know, the Department of Homeland Security, no one said it was for your homeland. It's not about your homeland security, as if it ever was. Like I said, it was established after 9/11. They called it the Department of Homeland Security, and the rubes out here just assumed that meant America. That was the homeland. Wrong homeland. Different homeland. I thought I just cracked up when I saw that. I did. I just cracked up. They were showing, like, you know, I don't know, there was this one account that's supposed to be some hardcore anti-fascist leftist with a bunch of followers on Twitter. And it turned out the country of origin was like Nigeria or some shit. And again, of course, there were plenty. There was some, you know, America Patriot account. It was based, I don't know, out of probably Poland or some shit. Something in Eastern Europe. Again, 51%. You always want to bear that in mind. They're trying hard. They're trying hard to keep you engaged. We don't know the actual numbers, how many people support the system. They're trying really desperately to keep people engaged. A lot of what this does is they're trying to reinforce this idea, you know, this idea of, you know, for instance, they create pockets of people, you know. I mean, people are going to have their differences. That's obviously you are. But what they do is, you know, people form groups on these social media things, you know. They have leftist groups. You know, and you, if you belong to the leftist Twitter group, you know, the people you're going to see in your feed, and the algorithm reinforces this, the people you're going to see in your feed and the people you're going to read and the articles that are going to come up in your feed are just going to give you your opinion back again. They're going to reinforce your view of the world. And the same thing happens over on the other side, on the quote-unquote conservative type side, the nominal right or whatever. You're going to get the same thing. You're going to get in a group and all the recommended reposts and retweets and articles coming up in your feed are going to reinforce your worldview. And what this does is this gives people this notion, this idea that everybody believes like they do. The vast majority of people agree with them. Now, what this plays on is actually a pretty clever thing, because what this plays on is somebody who's been doing this podcasting for a long time now. I always tell people, you know, one of the first things you learn doing this is that nobody cares about your opinion. They don't want to hear your opinion. When you do a podcast, when you do a show, when you speak, nobody wants to hear your opinion. The audience does not want to hear your opinion. They want to hear their opinion coming out of your mouth. Now, I'm not running y'all down. Don't get me wrong. But you do run into that. You know, now, when your opinions line up, people say, I like this guy. But you like it because you agree with me. If a hardcore, real, you know, communist believer leftist listened to the show and managed to make it through here, he would probably still catch himself chuckling at a few parts. But at the end of the day, they're not going to come back and listen again, because people by their very nature do this. You know, we all do. Look, I do it. You know, I don't, you know, I read, don't get me wrong. I just, because I find things interesting, I like to read other people's points of view. So I do read a lot of different people and whatnot, but I get the most, you know, I like it when I hear somebody that more or less says the things I agree with. It's human nature. They play on this. Is what I'm saying is they play on the fact that they know this. So, of course, they create these like little segregated environments to where people get the same ideas reinforced. They think, well, that's what everybody thinks. Well, obviously it's not. Well, I believe in what I believe because I believe it's centered on truth. But I'm not under any illusions that everybody thinks the way I do. But they have to do this. They're trying desperately, and it's looking more and more desperate to me. They're trying desperately to keep people engaged in the system. Like I said, we have no idea how much people really have checked out of the system already. This is an illegitimate system. As I say, this is all theater. I'm watching all of these people who again, 51%, I'm assuming are bots. But still, you still have a significant number of people are out there and they're basically bemoaning and regretting having voted for Trump. And we're less than a year into this guy being back in office. And a lot of these same people were scratching their heads when people like me are like, no, I'm not voting at all. You know, now they're like, I'm embarrassed. I voted for this guy. When you realize how the system functions and the way it functions and why it functions the way it does, I'm not participating in that. They try to keep the theater going, though. They're trying to keep this theater going. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, she just announced she's resigning, you know. And people then are out there, you know, again, 51% are bots. But 51% aside, you got all these people, you know, speculate, oh, my gosh, she was probably this and that. And I watched her video she did. you know, her, you know, she's sitting in her living room with the Christmas tree in the background. I'm like, it ain't Thanksgiving yet. I don't know about y'all, but traditionally, we never put the Christmas tree up until after Thanksgiving. She already got her Christmas tree up. She already got a strike against her right now. Right now, she got a strike against her. She had the Christmas tree up early. Sorry, Marjorie, you need to get... When did you have that Christmas tree up? That was the main thing I had. My question after seeing her video is, when did you put your Christmas tree up, Marjorie? Because it's too early. You don't put that up till after Thanksgiving. I'm sitting there watching that video, you know, and she's sitting in front of the camera. And I'm sitting there going, you know, she's in her living room and gives it a homey feel. And I'm sitting there thinking, why isn't she sitting on the couch? If you look at the video, she's obviously sitting like on a stool or something in her living room. She's not sitting on the couch. And the couch is right behind her. The couch is right behind her. So she's sitting in front of the couch on a stool. Be sure and catch the Christmas tree in the background. Just sit on the couch. Hell, you're quitting anyway. What do you care about how it looks? Because you know how I'd be. You know, I'd be like, well, I'm out of here anyway, you know? Like, hell, y'all, there's some point in time you just finally got enough of a job. You know, you work somewhere, you wage in somewhere. You finally got enough of the job and you quit. You know, maybe you gave notice or something. I don't know why you would do that, but you did. You gave notice and it's like, this is my last week at this sumbitch. I don't even care. I may be here for one more week, but I ain't doing a damn thing. You don't care. Dress code. Because I'm out of here. Why are you worrying about having this perfectly staged up deal sitting on the stool and not on the damn couch? I'd have been sitting on the... She should... I'd had a respect. And I'm not running her down, but, you know, I'd had more respect just because maybe... I'm kind of eccentric that way. If she had been like slobbed out in her sweat, sitting on the couch, you know, with like, you know, just have one of her kids stand there with a cell phone video and she'd light up a Virginia Slim, you know, one of them big, long, skinny cigarettes, you know, because I guarantee if Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I'm not running her down, I got nothing against her besides the fact she's a politician, but I mean, if Marjorie Taylor Greene smoked, it's going to be Virginia Slims. It would have been so funny. I would have had a certain amount of love for Marjorie. I would have. If like her video is like, you know, they fade in, they bring the camera around, bring the camera around on Marjorie, and she's sitting back on the couch in her sweats. Didn't even bother putting no damn makeup on. She's lounging around in her sweats because why the hell not? I'm announcing I'm quitting this sumbitch. I'm out of here. I'm going to stay long enough to get my pension. Then y'all can suck it because I quit this job. Take this job and shove it. Cue the Johnny Paycheck song. Marjorie Lee back on the couch. That's packing down a pack. Peels the top off. Out comes a Virginia Slim. Because again, if Marjorie Taylor Greene going to smoke, she going to smoke a Virginia Slim. Light that thing up. Take a drag. Well, this video is coming to y'all. I'm back in my home state of Georgia. And I'm going to tell y'all, I've had enough of this shit. I'm just going to tell you. These are a bunch of most phony, fake sumbitches I've ever met in my... Hold on, y'all. I'm going to finish this video in a minute. J-Roy. Yeah. Bring me a beer out of the refrigerator. I'm on this video to tell you that I've had enough. This congressional job, y'all can take this and shove it up your ass. Trump. Yeah, let me tell you something, Trump. Trump has tried to cop a feel on me so many times, it's not even funny. And then that sumbitch has got enough nerve to turn around and run me down. He's out gallivanting around with Lindsey Graham. And here I went to bat for him. And he's running me down. Thank you, J-Roy. Ah, And this sumbitch has got the nerve now to say he's going to run somebody against me in the primary. Well, I'll tell you what, get you one of your little queer buddies and go ahead and run them. Because I, you know what? You can't fire me, Trump, because I quit. That was, I would have had untold respect. I'd have been like Marjorie keeping it real. I'd be like, Marjorie's a real one in her sweats. Don't even got no shoes on. She's in the barefooted, set her feet up on the coffee table. But people be taking this shit serious, you know. They're like, oh my gosh, she's going back to life in Georgia. Yeah, I'm sure we'll never hear from her again. She probably got a deal with J.D. Vance. She's going to run as the vice president or something, you know. She's getting some kind of offer. People take this shit and they reel about it. They act like it's real. It's just more drama to keep you engaged. All these people talking about MAGA is falling apart. MAGA is falling apart. No, MAGA is being deconstructed because it's outlived its shelf life. It's time to deconstruct it and move on to the next thing, to the next narrative. They do same thing with the leftists, you know. I thought it was real funny talking about recent happenings, you know. They made this big deal about Mamdani, the guy getting mayor of New York City. The communist jihadi, whatever the hell else they went on about this guy, because again, they're trying to do the most important election ever nonsense. And this guy got in, you know, and these leftists that have spent no small amount of time ridiculing the Trump people for being cultists and quote unquote falling for it again. And they themselves fall for it again. They're like, oh, this guy's really going to lower the price of our rent. This guy, he's finally going to stand up for the little guy. And I see these bots, people, 51% bot comments on the internet. Oh, you just don't know, Mamdani, he's really good. He's one of the real ones. It's totally real this time, bro. And then right off the bat, he goes to the White House and he's chummed up with Trump. Trump's like, he's going to do a lot of great things. It's like you were calling him a communist jihadi extremist a while ago, like a couple weeks ago. And now he's going to do a lot of great things. He's got a lot of interesting ideas. I think people are going to be surprised. And left is still trying to lay out. Oh, no, he's real. Come on now. That's about as real as the idea that Marjorie Taylor Greene is completely retired from politics and we're never going to hear from her again. Maybe if she was sitting there in her sweats smoking a Virginia Slim. But no. Yeah, no, she'll be back. Don't worry. She might come back as a good guy. She might come back as a bad guy. It just depends on what the script writers come up with for her role. You know, it's like The Rock on WWF. Now it's WWE. But back in the day, before he was an actor in Hollywood, you know, he started off as a bad guy, became the good guy, back and forth. You know, he switched roles back and forth. These politicians switch roles back and forth. It's all theater. Don't take it for anything more than the entertainment that it is. But they're trying really hard. They're ginning really hard to try to keep people engaged. That gives me, I think that's a good thing. You know, I do. I think that's a good thing. Not that they're doing that, but I think it's a good, let me rephrase it. It's not that it's a good thing. It's a good sign. Because again, we don't have any idea what the actual public sentiment is. But I think the fact that they're so desperately trying to keep people buying into the system with their narratives and they're running around, I think it's a good sign because we don't know, but they do. And I see this as a indirect sign, at least, that their internal information, their algorithms, however the hell they study public mood, is telling them that people are more and more checking out of the system and throwing their hands up. And so they're having to try to gin up more and more interesting theater to keep people on board, to keep people engaged. Did you see, talking about such things, did you see the thing where the woman that was a speechwriter for Obama, and she was doing an interview or something, and she said she was kvetching that, you know, Holocaust education, in hindsight, all of this Holocaust, she said there's something like Holocaust education. What she meant was, I think, the Holocaust narrative. In other words, the Holocaust creation was a mistake. She said it was a mistake because now, basically, I'm not reading it word for word in front of me. So, but she basically said now, we're being looked at like we're the bad guys. Maybe it was a mistake doing the whole Holocaust education narrative creation. Because now people look at us and they think we're the bad guys because of what we're doing to the Palestinians. It backfired on us. I thought that was funny in a, just again, in a ironic sort of way. They really are losing. They're literally losing control of a lot of these narratives. It really is. No, it's. I just thought it was funny. This woman coming out and saying, maybe this was a mistake because now they're starting to we're the bad guys from this. Now we're the Nazis. Oh my gosh. I was thinking about it and I thought about doing this as a topic on the show for the opening part of the show. And I thought, as I said before, it's at this point, it's so in your face that it feels just like pointing out water is wet, because if you don't see it at this point, when the Department of Homeland Security, oops, it's based out of Tel Aviv. I mean, it's so in your face now that I feel kind of ridiculous and silly even pointing it out. But when you look at the whole Israel project has kind of blown up in their faces, and she has a point, she has a point. Because again, when she said Holocaust education, what she meant was the Holocaust creation might have been a mistake. She can't say that for obvious reasons, but that was what she meant. Because it's never, if you're educating people on facts, that's never a mistake. If you're educating people on factual things, that's never a mistake because people need to know the truth. So when she said Holocaust education, what she meant was this creation of the Holocaust narrative. And again, terms matter, definitions matter. So to be clear, because somebody's, you did denying the Holocaust. You have to define the Holocaust. If you define the Holocaust as these people were put into camps by National Socialist Germany, nobody argues that fact. Obviously, that happened. But if you define the Holocaust, as most people do, as fake shower room gas chambers, pedal-powered skull-smashing machines, the masturbation machine of death, wall of eyes, crowing like a rooster till you fall out of the tree, frozen solid, whatever. That's what most people are talking about when you say the Holocaust. Nobody argues that these people, all sorts of people, but a lot of these people, these Jews were put into camps by the Germans. Nobody argues that. That's a historical fact. It's silly. No, I don't know of anybody that argues that that happened. So when you're talking about the Holocaust narrative, or she calls it Holocaust education, you're talking about that. Like I said, the masturbation machines, it masturbated you to death and the fake shower rooms and all of it. And I think we're reaching this point. What I wanted to say, I'm reaching this point, and I think she's kind of reflecting on this, maybe hoping that people don't come to this conclusion. But when you look at Israel's behavior, the way they've done the Palestinians, are we at the point yet? This is a real legitimate question. Are we at the point where the public is ready to start? Or maybe, I think maybe in her remarks, she was kind of warning about this, a concern here, that people might start asking the question, is the Holocaust narrative, again, all of this fantastical, the roller coaster that slings everybody into a giant oven and all of the rest of it, might it be a case of the biggest recorded case of projection ever? That's the part, I think, where there's concern being raised. When you look at, for all of the fantastical stories, the just outlandish stories about supposedly what happened in these camps. And I'm not trying to rehash this. I mean, this has been done for years. But when you think about all of these outlandish stories. And then you have this recent happening in Israel where they took a man, a Palestinian prisoner, and on video sodomized him with inanimate objects, knives, everything else, to the point he had a ruptured bowel, had to be put in the hospital. I mean, you know, on video. Like, they held this guy down and shoved things in his ass. I don't know of any stories of that happening in the camps run by Germany. That's a pretty obscene thing. And, of course, then you had Netanyahu coming out after that, made public and talked about what a horrible disaster it was that that video got out because it makes them look bad. Not that this is obscene that this happened. And then when they tried to make a kind of, you know, symbolic gesture of arresting the guys who did this, then you had all of these people, with all these Israelis over there, a lot of them these lunatic settlers, they stormed the military base demanding these guys be let go. So we're getting to the point where people might start saying, maybe that whole narrative was a big case of projection. Maybe instead of that happening, maybe they were kind of telegraphing what, given the opportunity, this is what they would do to other people. I mean, if you'd hold a guy down, regardless of what you think about the guy as an individual, you know, because you, everybody, you got people, you know, maybe you have somebody you work with, whatever, you can't stand that guy, you know? Like, if you just something, make it something personal. I'm trying to think of something that would really make you dislike somebody. You know, some guy steals your wife away. Your wife cleans you out in the divorce, and now this asshole is living in your house. You know, you're left with nothing. You'd be real resentful towards that guy. But you probably wouldn't want to, like, lay around and think, you know, I'd get some of my buddies together. We'd hold him down. And you know what I'd do? I'd grab poles and spikes and knives and shove them all in his ass. I don't think you would do that. I would hope you wouldn't. You wouldn't even think of that. It wouldn't cross your mind. You might think, if I run into that guy on the street, I'm going to whip his ass. That's fair enough. But you wouldn't sit around and think, man, I'm going to pull his pants down, and I'm going to spread his cheeks, and I'm going to ram things in his butthole. That'll teach him. Who does that? Crazy shit happens in war. You know, when you got a prisoner and something motivates you to do that to them, that's a whole nother level. And I don't know of any recorded accusations that the Nazis did that in their in these camps almost 100 years ago. We're still supposed to go on and on about it. When you see a demonstration of people that would do this to somebody, to another human being, you know, I mean, here in America, you know, I've said it before, the U.S. government back in the day, they broke every treaty they made with the American Indians. I'm not one of those people, the noble red man. I have real views of history. But the U.S. government did some atrocious things to the American Indians. But I don't know of any cases where the cavalry, the U.S. Army, grabbed some brave, yanked him off his horse, held him down, and shoved their swords in his ass. This is not something people do. But they did. And then their leader stands up and says, this is a horrible disgrace that somebody let other people find out about. Not that they did it. At some point in time, people had to say, look at this Holocaust stuff, these fantastical stories. And you think, you know, if they could invent a masturbation machine, these are the guys that would do it. You know, whenever you hear those stories in school, you know, the pedal powered skull smasher, and you think, come on now. Who would even do that? Who would even want to invent a pedal-powered skull-smashing machine? But I tell you, somebody that would hold a guy down and shove things in his butt until, you know, rupture his bowels, if they could invent a pedal-powered skull-smasher, maybe they would do that. That would be the guys. Look, all of this comes back to, again, last thing I want to do is rehash the Holocaust for the 6 millionth time. But I do think it's interesting the fact that she was lamenting this. I think some people are starting to realize that a lot of this stuff could come around and bite them in the ass. Now, I think a lot of this signals a very large concern because, again, we don't know. We're given narratives and we got all these bots and you don't know how many people really feel a certain way. But you look at this and I think a lot of these things, at least indirectly, point to the fact that they're very concerned that they're losing control of the narrative. That people are starting to see the system for what it is. That it's not a glitch. It's not a bug. There's not something wrong with it. More and more people are saying things like, you're not going to vote your way out of this, which is saying that the system is working as intended. It's not something wrong with the system. This is the system. And if enough people check out of the system and quit participating in it, it's doomed. It just is. That's the way it works. People quit buying into it, the system will collapse under its own weight. And I think we're seeing a lot of concern about that, more and more of it. That's why they're more and more desperately trying to keep people engaged. We're going to get into the Christian specific segment. We got to keep this train rolling. We got to keep it rolling. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's go ahead and get into this week's discussion and our Christian specific segment, the sermon, if you would, here at the Parish of the Patriots. There's a topic I've hit on multiple times. You can't help but to hit on it. But I don't know that we've really necessarily just directly addressed it. And we're going to get into that a little bit today. And we're going to do it here in our Christian specific segment. As you know, the vast majority of these churches, they don't do anything with the Old Testament. I mean, it's like it's non-existent. And with the exception of one thing, and y'all already know what it is, don't you? Genesis chapter 12. Isn't it funny how these pastors or even godless politicians, if there's one passage from the Bible that they can quote, it's Genesis chapter 12, but they don't quote it. That's the thing. They reference it. Genesis chapter 12. Many of you probably saw the clip of Ted Cruz, of all people. Do you look at Ted Cruz? And do you think to yourself, this looks like a really godly man? Is that what he strikes you as? When you look at somebody like any of these megachurch pastors, do you look at this guy and say, wow, you know, I really want to go to his church because he seems like he is really in tune with the Holy Spirit? Because I don't have that reaction. Godless policy. We all saw the Ted Cruz clip. Well, I support Israel because I learned in the Bible. Now, Ted Cruz is so, shall we say, challenged that he couldn't even remember the chapter it's from. But don't worry. There'll be no shortage of pastors. Yeah, some pastors, you go by one of these churches. I went by another one the other day. I'm triggered every time. I'm not triggered. I just shake my head. I went by another church the other day, one of them gaudy neon sign things that they love. And of course it says, we stand with Israel. I would be willing to bet if you asked one of these pastors, why do you stand with Israel? Because of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I saw one of these charlatans on video here recently. Same thing. Genesis chapter 12. Well, let me tell you why. Because Genesis chapter 12 says, those who bless Israel be blessed. Those curse Israel will be cursed. I myself, I don't want to go against God. I saw one of making this argument. Do you want to pick a fight with God by not standing with Israel, by not blessing Israel so that God will bless America? People actually fall for this low-tier rhetoric. And it's obvious. I mean, this is transparent. I was thinking when I saw that the other day, Genesis chapter 12. Let me tell you, why do I support Israel? Let me tell you, Genesis chapter 12. God says he'll bless those who bless Israel, and he'll curse those who curse Israel. Do you want to be on the wrong side of God? God, brother? Because I don't want to be on the wrong side of God. I thought to myself, what I would give to ask this person, what other Old Testament Bible verses can you quote right off the top of your head, chapter and verse? Which one is it? Give me some others. My current Old Testament study is in the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to tell you, there's no shortage of nuggets in there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those people that think that I talked about this recently, that believe that if you can quote chapter and verse by memory, it means you have some exceptional grasp of the Bible. It just means you have really good memory skills. But the point is, these people whip it off the top of their head like they're speaking from a position of authority. Genesis chapter 12. Let me tell you why I support Israel. What other Old Testament verses? I mean, it's a pretty big book. It makes up most of the Bible. So give us some others. There's, like I say, there's plenty of really good nuggets of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Give us a few of those off the top of your head, chapter and verse. I'd be willing to bet they can't give you a single one. They might could give you something from the New Testament, maybe John 3:16, you know. But not anything from the Old Testament. By golly, they can give you Genesis chapter 12. I also have to wonder how many of the people sitting in the pews of one of these churches and listen to this garbage, how many of them ever actually just go ahead and go get in their Bibles and look up Genesis chapter 12 for themselves? It's only three verses here, by the way. Always be wary when people don't want to give you context. You know, this is one of the telltale signs when somebody's not being earnest. When they do these things out of context. That's why I always say with the Bible, you have to have context. You have to study the entire thing. This is one of the fruitless endeavors, and I don't know why people undertake it, when they do quote-unquote debates with atheists. Because all that's going to happen, the atheist is going to take a single verse out of this massive book and say, well, this shows what your faith is all about. One verse out of thousands. And when you try to provide the context, of course, they will say, oh, now you're trying to change the meaning of it. The meaning as defined by them. It's a pointless endeavor. It's what Jesus warned about when he said, not casting your pearls before spine. Before your swine. And basically, don't waste your time. Now, to be fair, I don't fall for the trick the other way either. You know, somebody will be criticizing Islam. Obviously, I'm not Islamic. But somebody will criticize Islam and they'll say, yeah, the Quran, this verse in the Quran says this. So now we know what these people are all about. I don't say that that's what those people are all about. Again, I'm not Muslim. But again, you have a massive book here. I'm not going to sit here and have somebody read me one verse and say, well, there's their whole faith. In a nutshell, one verse out of many. I just point that out. So nobody thinks I'm being unfair. Oh, well, you apply that to your faith, but what about the Muslims? No, apply it to the Muslims too. You know, you're not going to take one verse out of a massive book and say, there's their faith in a nutshell. Anyway, how many of these people, godless politicians quoting the Bible, I want to vomit every time I see that. The Ted Cruz thing was especially egregious, but he's not the only one. I saw one, I don't even remember who it was. It's because they're all the same. You know, all of these politicians are cut from the same spiritual mold. I saw some politician giving a grand speech. The Bible teaches me Genesis chapter 12 says we gotta support it. So shut up, you godless sack of shit. It's godly indignation at these godless people. This guy doesn't know anything about God. He doesn't know anything about the Bible. He knows not the Lord. And he's got the nerve to stand up there because he's getting paid. It's a paid shill. We got to support Israel because Genesis chapter 12. I can't. You know? Now, I said a minute ago, how many of these people sitting in the pews of these churches read Genesis chapter 12? These guys are always, if they're going to quote one off top of their head, why you have to support the modern nation state of Israel? They can whip you out, Genesis chapter 12. Like the likes of Ted Cruz is a Bible expert. Let's look at it. So why not? Let's just read Genesis chapter 12. It's three relevant verses here. And since this is their go-to, okay? This is their go-to. The reason you got to send billions of dollars to Israel, the reason you got to support Israel's genociding of the Palestinians, the reason you got to support the fact that your government is owned and operated and is a client state to a tiny foreign country in the Middle East is because right here in these three verses in the Bible. So let's look at the three verses. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, this was even before God changed his name to Abraham. So the Lord said unto Abram, that's a weird pronunciation for Israel, isn't it? He's talking to Abram, literally talking to this guy. This is like one of the few guys that could walk around and talk to God. If God was of the inclination to, God found him interesting. Because he had a different view, had a different approach. He actually was just curious when it came to the Lord. He was curious. He wanted to understand God, and God credited his faith as righteousness. So God is talking to who? Abram. He wasn't talking to Bibi Netanyahu, was he? Wasn't talking to Ted Cruz. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, again, I approach this that I always say this whole segment is designed for people who are already somewhere along the path, hopefully fairly along, well along the path of their Christian faith. So, you know, there was Abram became Abraham, same guy, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob becomes Israel. Israel eventually from this lineage becomes a separate people. Now, what's interesting here, where did we start in Genesis chapter 12? He told Abram to get out of the country he was in from his kindred and from his father's house. So he started from this other people, and he says, go forward into this land. I'm going to show you where the future is, where your lineage is headed. He wasn't going to be around for it, where your lineage is headed. Now, we know, as I said, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob becomes the nation of Israel. In other words, they wound up becoming a distinct people, a distinct race of people. But they started from somewhere else, didn't they? They started from somewhere else. They become a nation, and a nation which peaked, I would say, in my opinion, under King David. Now, some would say it peaked under Solomon. I disagree with that. I believe the nation stayed, the people of Israel peaked under King David. You're also well aware that they started going downhill after that, dramatically downhill, and they collapsed, and the nation was destroyed. But ultimately, this lineage, this nation, this people did result, if you trace lineage the way that they traced it at that time, it culminates in what? In who? Jesus Christ. Now, you would think preachers in a church, this would be a thing that they would want to highlight. You're supposed to be a Christian church, which means Jesus Christ is supposed to be like the cornerstone, the headstone of your faith. And they just brush past that. Because when I read this and he talks about all nations being blessed through you, through your lineage, you know, in thee shall all families of the earth, all of the different nations of the earth will be blessed through thee. Well, it makes sense that this is saying that eventually the way they tracked lineage at the time is going to result in what? The culmination of our faith, the headstone, the cornerstone of our faith, the pillar of our faith. If you remove Jesus Christ from Christianity doesn't exist. It's centered around Jesus Christ. Makes sense. You would think they would really want to highlight, but they don't, do they? They say it's about Bibi Netanyahu. It's about Israel. That's why. Now, an important thing also to point here, because this gives you an idea. When you get into this discussion of, are these people today that are widely referred to as Jews, are they, do they have anything to do with the Israelites or the Bible? I would say little to nothing. I can't say nothing because it's not out of the question that there isn't some lineage. When you look at some of this overall behavior and you compare it to that of the Pharisees, there is a likelihood. There's definitely a spiritual relation, I would say. But I can't say there's no genetic relation. But here's an important part. In chapter 1, when he's telling Abram to come up out of the people he was then, they become, as the lineage goes down, a separate nation, a separate race of people. You know, they become this other people. So, but how come now we're thousands of years later and no, they will tell you these people today that are referred to widely as Jews are these people from thousands of years ago? Because God told Abram to come up out of the people he was with, his kindred, his people, his nation, his country, and go, and within three generations, but after three generations, God would begin officially establishing them as a new people, as a separate nation from the one they came from. But yet here we are thousands of years, and these people have got to be the same people from thousands of years ago. How does that make any sense? Make it make sense, because you can't make it make sense. Because they have the same name. Oh, really? Because I go through all through this Old Testament, and I'm not going to find the term Jew. It pops up in most of our translations here of the New Testament, and I've pointed this out before, that by and large, it was referencing people from a region, just like you would say, I'm Texan, I'm from Texas. But there are a lot of different kind of people from Texas, black, brown, white, whatever, all kinds of cultures, but they're in Texas. They're from the region of Texas. When you're in the New Testament and you come across this Jew term, it means people from Judea. Now, sometimes it does reference people from the tribe of Judah, but most of the bulk references, I'm starting to get off into something I don't intend to get off into today, but most of the references, when you see the term Jew in the New Testament, is talking about people from the region, from that area. You're a Yankee. You're a Yankee. You're a Californian. Got a lot of people from that region. The point here is, if God could bring Abram's lineage, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and from Jacob start creating a whole new race of people within, you know, like I say, after roughly three generations, how is it that we're thousands of years later and these people here have some kind of, what, God-given birthright to that plot of land in the Middle East? Because they're totally the same people from back here, from the book of Genesis, the early book of Genesis, same people. If you read the Old Testament and you read, like, about, you know, David and the way that the mighty men and the way they fought and their behavior, and you compare it to these people around today, there's no similarities, like, at all. But again, same people, right? So here we have, we've looked at these three verses. Again, I would be willing to bet money, and I ain't got a lot, I'd be willing to bet money that these politicians, for sure, and probably most of these bought and paid for preachers who shill for this modern nation state of Israel, that's probably the only Old Testament passage they could tell you off the top of their head. Ted Cruz couldn't even remember it was in chapter 12. That's how dedicated he is. Imagine he's like, my whole faith, let me tell you, Tucker, my whole faith is about Genesis. In the book of Genesis, God will bless Israel, bless those that bless Israel. I don't want to be on the cursing end from God, because God will curse those who don't bless Israel. And he's so damn stupid, he couldn't even remember which reference it is. You had one job, Ted. As Christian believers, it's not hard for us to understand where this blessing is. The blessing is in Jesus Christ. But they don't want to get into that, do they? That's weird. You would think these so-called self-professed Christian politicians, or much less pastors, would really want to highlight he's referencing in the future, through this rough lineage, is going to come the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan from the beginning. This passage is in the book of Genesis because this is the beginning of God setting things in motion. The culmination of this, the victory of this, is in Jesus Christ. That's a pretty big blessing. It's a pretty big deal in our faith. That's why it has Christ in the name of the faith. Christian, Christ, of Christ. You would think that would, I don't know, be nominally important. And yet somehow it magically gets twisted around into we got to support these people while they slaughter, wholesale slaughter people, steal their land, give them billions of our dollars. And then, of course, you have the obvious thing, which a lot of people point out, this is nothing new, but it bears repeating here. If you really believe this, then if you believe these passages mean that we're supposed to support this thing, this fabricated creation in the Middle East, which happens to be plagiarizing the same name from the Old Testament, if you really believe that, and you believe that God's going to bless you for that, where the hell is the blessing at? I want to know. Because I'm looking around this country, and it's been doing, if you consider blessing covering for them, running cover for them while they do this disgusting behavior, and give them billions of dollars taken from us, the taxpayers, support them unconditionally, stand by why they own and operate your government, because all these politicians are bought and paid for by them. I'm waiting for the blessing part, because it looks to me like it's turned into a curse. Do you look around America today? A lot of this audience, I'm assuming, is in America. I know not all of you are. But do you look at the U.S. today? Boy, we're just getting blessing upon blessing heaped on us. Let's send them extra money. Hell, we're getting so many blessings heaped upon us now. Things couldn't get much better, could they? Do you just look at the end? This is the lie in plain sight, isn't it? If we keep supporting Israel, God will keep blessing America. And I'm looking around at this shithole and I'm like, when does the blessing start? You're saying that God's going to bless us, but if we don't do this, support this nation state over here, then God's going to curse us. But I'm looking at the results here and the lie is in plain sight, isn't it? Where the hell's the blessing? Because it doesn't look very blessingly to me. Looks pretty cursedy. Just making up terms left and right. If I had to say, look at the state and the direction this country's going in, I would say there. Would you think it's more going down the path road of more blessing or more cursing? Maybe we just haven't given enough to Israel. Maybe we're just not dedicated enough. Where is it? Where's the blessing? I mean, hell, we send enough money. We let them run our government. Well, not like we have a say-so in it, but they run our government. They run our culture. They run our banks. Our government functions as a client state of their government. We are going by the math. Hell, we ought to be just rolling in blessing, you know? Hell, we ought to be paying 50 cents a gallon for gas, and we all ought to have a nice, really nice house. Our young people should be flourishing. Where's the blessing? How come everybody looks to the future in this country and goes, wow, they see things getting worse? Wonder why. When does the blessing start, guys? I would love to see that. I would love to see that question asked to one of these quote-unquote Christian Zionist evangelical lunatic preachers that somehow by miraculous happens, they're getting blessed, I guess. Maybe they're just talking. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're just talking about themselves. God will bless America. Well, he's blessing me. You ought to see my checks, brother. I got a mega church. I'm on TV. You ought to see the size of my bank account. God's blessing me left to right with this payoff. They're blessed, I guess, with some money. It's a poor choice. But, you know, I guess it's pretty good for them. What about everybody else? When do the blessings come rolling in for the population as a whole? Because I'm looking at the population as a whole and things don't look very blessingly. I'd love to see somebody stand up and ask one of these guys when they whip this shit off. Hey, when does the blessing part start? When I look around this country, pastor, Zionist, evangelical lunatic, when's this blessing start? You're saying if we bless Israel, we're going to be blessed. Where's the blessing? I'm not talking about your personal bank account and how you're doing. I'm talking about the nation as a whole. When does the blessing start? Why are we being cursed? Because we look cursed to me. If I had to stand back objectively and look at things, I'd have to call it a curse. Why are we being cursed when we're supporting these people? Like, an embarrassing subservience to this little nation over here. Why do we look cursed? You're saying we're going to be blessed, but it looks like a lie to me. It looks like a lie because we look pretty cursed to me. Things are getting objectively worse. Why is that? You're saying we're going to be blessed. When does it start? I'd love to see him try to answer that. They probably, you know, well, you'd never be allowed to get close enough to ask the actual question. Anyway, I just, every time I see some, especially when I see some godless sack of shit politician peel this off and act like he's Christian, it just sets me off. Every time I see one of these televangelist, mega church, evangelical assholes, you know, peel this nonsense off while they're running to the bank and cashing their latest check. I just thought today, let's just actually read the verses and ask the questions and look at the truth. Their lies are in plain sight. If we're supposed to be blessed, we're obviously, if anything, you would say this country's cursed. So what they're saying is incorrect. It is a lie. And it's a lie right there in the open. Things that, you know, it'd be like if somebody was holding you on the ground, punching you in the face, going, I'm blessing you harder and harder. Don't, you should be happy I'm blessing you, punching you in the freaking face. You can look around and see the results of this. And it's not a blessing. So where's the blessing, Pastor? You know, yeah, you're a congressman. You're a senator. You're now worth tens of millions of dollars in your bank account. Yeah, I guess it's a blessing for you, but what about the country? You're not the country. You're not the nation. When's the blessing start trickling down to everybody else? Because for everybody else, it looks a whole lot more like a curse. Maybe we should start asking a little more why that is. We're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining me today. I hope you got something out of the show, especially the Christian-specific segment. That is the highlight of the show. I don't care what anybody else says. That's the best part. If you don't like this part, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, I do hope you got something out of it. I appreciate you joining me today. And hopefully, we'll see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.